do that. So the commercial world is going to be disappointed if their sales aren't way up. The Christian world shouldn't be disappointed, no matter what's going on, to celebrate this season. Can you say amen? Because we know what it's truly all about. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 for a little while this morning. And I want to talk about the royal names of Jesus. One translation actually calls this the royal titles of Jesus that we're getting ready to read. I want to bring Jesus above the status of an innocent, pure, holy, helpless lad, a baby, a child laying in a manger, to who he was, even though he came as a baby and grew to manhood. He was born with certain qualifications that only deity can have. Can you say amen? He didn't grow into, as he grew into manhood, he didn't grow into godhood. He was God at his birth. Amen? And that's what makes this such a powerful, powerful event, because God came down. He didn't just send someone. Jesus, who was God incarnate, came down. And that's what is so powerful about this Christmas message. I'm going to be made, a great-grandfather, again, in about 6 months, for the third time. Wow. That means I'm beyond the grandpa or pawpaw stage. Amen. I'm now moving in the great-grandfather. And I'm just getting used to being a pawpaw, and now I'm going to be a great-grandpa. And I don't know what you call great-grandpas. I'm already a papa, and I'm already a pawpaw. I mean, I don't know what's left out there. You know, great-grandfather, children just don't use those kind of terms. But I got, this is, the third is coming. And I was out with my grandson the other day, this week, in fact, Robert Venable the third. Now, you got to picture this. I'm talking about names this morning and titles. My dad is Robert S. Venable. That's the only thing that kept me from being a junior, was that he was Robert S. Venable. He named me Robert A. Venable. So I named my son Robert A. Venable Jr. And so he named his son Robert A. Venable the third. I won't tell you how he pronounced that when he was 3 years old. People would ask him his name and say, Robert A. Venable the... Yeah, that's it. You said it. I didn't. Amen. And so we didn't want anybody to ask him his name for a while, but it did fit him. But No, it didn't. He was a mess. But anyway, he's a great guy. And I'm going to be a great-grandfather for the third time. And so I asked my grandson, Robert Venable III, what if it was a boy, what had they been discussing naming him? I was just interested. And he said, we were thinking about naming him Robert. And I said, well, you know, that'll make, I was kind of, you know, not all for another Robert, you know, but because there's so many of us, it's confusing. I got great credit. My son has lousy credit. I always put senior on my stuff because I do not want them to get me confused with him. I want to keep us wide apart. Amen. They said Robert. And then I said, well, you know, we got so many Roberts in the family. Have you possibly considered anything else? You know, and he said, "Yeah, we thought maybe Bing." And I thought of Bing Crosby. I thought there's a Bing around. The only other Bing I've ever heard of is Bing. I said, "You mean after Bing who? Bing? Oh, it's somewhere we don't know about that. Oh, a Bing Cherry." See, leave it to a produce manager to always be thinking vegetables. I bet, listen, we should have got him VeggieTales for Christmas. Can you say amen? I believe that's exactly the perfect present for a produce manager. What is the one, the pirates who couldn't do anything? All right, we got another VeggieTale fan in here. The pirates who didn't do anything. Amen. Vegetables. Oh, amen. So anyway, I thought of Bing Crosby instead of Bing Cherry. I thought of Bing Crosby, somebody with that name. And you know what I found out they were getting Bing from? Because he and his gal are both really into video games. There's some video game character in a video game named Bing. And I thought, oh, Lord. I backed up and I said, name him Robert. It won't, because I was thinking, if they're going down through video games, who knows what we might get. Amen? There's some crazy name for video game characters. And I don't want a son named Pokemon. Can you say amen? I mean a grandson, great-grandson. I want him named Robert. Robert is a good name. Just stick with Robert. Don't go to the video game world to pick a name. You know why? Because names are important. Once you pick out a name, the child will be stuck with it for a long, long time. Johnny Cash sung a song about a name, didn't he? Amen. His daddy named him Sue. And he lived with that name through his whole life. And he was mad at his daddy for naming him Sue. And wanted, my name is Sue. How do you do? How would you like to die? In other words, you put a name on me that brought all this heat on me my whole life. And, of course, his dad explains, I just did that to make you strong, boy. Make you learn how to fight and stand up. You know, and it all worked out. In the end, he didn't kill his daddy. And it's just one of those songs. Remember this? A boy named Sue. You're stuck with that name. Babies have no choice in the selection of their names. They have to live with them. They have to live them down like a boy named Sue, or they have to live them up. So it is with Jesus. Even before his birth, he was a child of many names. Everybody say many names. Do you know Prince Charles has four names? We know him as Prince Charles. But his name is Charles Edward Arthur something else. And they call him Prince Charles. But he has four monikers, four names to take in things that royal family once passed down to him. He's a man of four first names but they chose to call him Charles. Jesus is a man of four titles, but they choose to call him one name that encapsulizes all the others. But what he was at birth is what I'm talking about to you today. They have to live him up. They have to live him down. Even before his birth, Jesus was given four names. The prophet Isaiah writing, listen, 700 years before he was born, prophesied that Messiah would have four titles, four names that describe who he is and what he would accomplish. And it says, for unto us, Isaiah 9:6, a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I want you to say those names with me. These are his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The wonderful thing about Jesus was that his steps didn't begin at Bethlehem, and they did not end at Calvary. Can you say that? He was born, imagine this, before I just talk about each one of them just a little while today. He was born as the Son of God, and yet he was the Everlasting Father simultaneously. He was born and had a beginning as a man in Bethlehem. But his goings are from everlasting, the scripture said prophetically of him. He was God before Moses was. They said, how do you talk about things that you know so much about Moses and you being a young man like you are? And he said, before Moses was, I am. Not I was, but I am. And when he said I am, it really incensed them because he used the same words that God used when Moses asked him, who shall go for us? Or who shall I say sent me? And he said, I am. Tell him the I am that I am sent you. Jesus is the great I am. We just sung it. Praise the Lord. And he was that at his birth. He wasn't just a man who evolved into some kind of deified state. He was born very God, and he became very man. I love the statement, the true statement, that the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. That's the significance of Christmas today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So the first thing that the four names of Jesus reveal is aspects of his character. Names are different now. You can name a kid after a video game. Now, Tiffany was one of the names that was out there for a long time. If it's a girl, they talked about an older name, in fact. One of the older type but beautiful names that you don't hear much anymore, but one of those older female names that was given to babies before Hannah Montana came along. Amen. Hannah's old, yeah, but you got to put the Montana with it to offset it. Hannah Montana, Rosanna Dana, amen, or something like that in a Latin family. His first name that they talked about was Wonderful. Hallelujah. Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Let me tell you what that means. It means a wonder of a counselor. It speaks of the wisdom of his plan. No one would have ever come up with a plan like God's to redeem fallen man. No one could have ever come up with a plan like God's to save fallen man. It appeared that it was the greatest defeat in the universe when Jesus allowed them to take him to the cross. Sending a baby to live a life as a man who was really God, who could come up with a plan like that? Satan didn't have a clue. He knew this man had great authority, but one thing he did not expect was this man to raise from the dead. He knew the prophecy about the seed of the woman bruising his head, but he didn't know it would be very God that did it. And he thought there might be a way. If it's a man, then I can defeat him. I've defeated men before. I defeated Solomon in all of his wisdom and got him to sin. I defeated David in all of his power to fight battles and got him to sin. Amen? I caused Abraham to doubt. Abraham staggered not the promise of God and was strong in faith. He came back to that state, but he didn't stay in that state. He got impatient and decided to help God bring it to pass, didn't he? Amen? So when it said he staggered not, it doesn't mean that he stayed true and held true to faith all the way. It meant he got off track, he got back on track. And really, if you want to know the truth, that's the secret to Christian victory. Is not getting to the place you never get off track, but learning how to get back on track when you do. Can you say amen? Because there ain't nobody in the Bible that didn't get off track, except one. Satan must have been really emboldened to think that it's going to be the seed of a woman that's going to bruise my head in this prophecy. I know God could come down to heaven from heaven and do it because he defeated me in heaven. So it would be no remarkable thing that God defeat me upon the earth. But if the seed of a woman is going to do it, then there's hope for me of not being defeated. Can you? If it's going to be the seed of a woman, I've dealt with the seeds of women before. Samson was a mighty man in battle, but I got through to him. David was a mighty man in battle, but I got through to him. Solomon had wisdom like no other man, but I got through to him. So if I can get through and cause this man to sin, and that's what he was up to when Jesus was fasting. And who did he meet on his fast? Angels to encourage him. No, the devil to tempt him. Can you say, man? And he offered him what normally the seed of the woman would be interested in and fall for. But Jesus, amen, was not just the seed of a woman. He was the seed of very God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And the devil just didn't realize who he was dealing with. Praise God. And he never realized it. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, there must have been a big party down in hell. Amen. But the devil didn't realize who he was dealing with. Can you say, man? And did you know something? A large portion of the church, he found out who he was dealing with. Can you say amen? When death was conquered and Jesus took the keys of death and hell from him and holds them in his hand, praise God, and conquered the grave. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Large portion of the church is going to get sentimental this Christmas. Honey, we're in a war. This is reality. We just did a 2 series on the radio, a Christmas sermon about the great dragon that hated the woman that brought forth the man child and set out to destroy the woman. Can you say, man, that hatred is still going on. And that hatred, he couldn't kill the man child, but he hated the woman that brought him forth. literally, Israel was the bloodline that brought him into this world nationally. There is a hatred for Israel. The devil is incensing nations of the world to hate Israel. If they would just go away, if they just leave, it would solve so many problems in the Middle East and problems here, because if we ally and align ourselves with that nation, we do it at the consternation of many other nations. By the way, there's, you know what we are? You know what we are? Spiritual Israel. Amen. And you know what we do is we proclaim Jesus. We're bringing forth, proclaiming the man-child. And he hates the woman. The church is in the feminine sense, in the scripture. God loves us and puts us as the collective body of Christ in the feminine sense of his love. Amen. He loved the church and gave himself for it, just like a husband does for the wife. If you don't believe the church is in the feminine sense, we're going to have a marriage supper. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan hates us for that. We are literally, amen, when someone comes to Jesus at Betty's funeral, not Betty, but Shirley's funeral, people came to Christ. The devil doesn't like that. He's losing. Can you say amen? And because of that funeral, a man that now is given so much of a terrible prognosis from a doctor is, I believe, is going to open his heart and receive Jesus, because he was at that funeral and the seeds for his salvation was sown at that funeral when the gospel was brought forth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. I'm excited about seeing people come to the Lord, but I fully understand that there is a great red dragon that hates the woman that brings forth the man child. They even said it in China. We must kill the baby while he's still in the manger. Well, it's too late. Amen. And I want them to know, and it's clear to me today, that baby in the manger was very God. You can kill a lot of innocent little babies, but you can't kill that baby, because that baby is like no other baby in all of the world. That baby is the wonderful counselor. That baby is the everlasting father. That baby in that manger is the mighty God. Hallelujah. And the Prince of Peace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Why did the songwriter write a song like that? Did you know that's theology that we need to hold sacred today? Because if he wasn't God, his blood wasn't sinless. And if his blood wasn't sinless, then he couldn't save us, because it could not be accepted. It wasn't just the shedding of blood. A good man shedding his blood would not be enough. Amen. It had to be pure and sinless. And there's only one that never sinned. How many know it's not that person you know that you think is so great? Can you say, man, it's Jesus. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Not one in heaven was found worthy to take the book in our behalf, to take the book and the scroll from him that sits upon the throne. And a search was made throughout heaven and earth, and not one who had ever lived or ever died. Amen. Not one angel or archangel was found worthy. Angels really couldn't do it. It had to be a man, because it was in our behalf that he was going to take the scroll. And suddenly John began to weep, because he thought, all is lost. No one is worthy to take that scroll. You can't have our redemption consummated unless this thing carries through eternity. Amen. Unless there's a purging of the earth. Unless there is a coming of his kingdom to this earth. Listen, but then suddenly he was told that the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah rather, he hath prevailed. And he did it for us. And he is able to take the book from him that sits upon the throne. But I want you to know, we're in a battle. This is a war, my brother and my sister. And the world absolutely hates the woman that brought forth the man child. And now the controversy is swirling again. There's one school that doesn't even want anybody to bring a package to school that has red and green on it because it represents Christmas. And Christmas has a name in it, a little name, C-H-R-I-S-T. Amen. Started probably in an ancient Catholicism in terms of a mass that they held especially at midnight on Christmas Eve, and they called it Christ Mass, and it was shortened to Christ Mass. Can you say amen? We've got a way of abbreviating that today, that the world has just, they don't seem to mind that, because where Christ is, there's an X. And it's Xmas. Take the Christ out of Christmas and have all the mass. And it's really not a mass, it's a mess. Can you say amen? Amen. Little boy got down to pray, and he's finally learned to recite the Lord's Prayer. And he wants to do it for his mama. And it's the week of Christmas that in Sunday school they taught them the Lord's Prayer. And he gets down and he's doing real good. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our, and his mind is on Santa and what he's going to get. He just can't get his mind off of it. Forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us. Sometimes I think maybe he was right on, because if Christmas doesn't hold that sacred place, then we're just going to get wore out. There's going to be a big letdown. As soon as it's over, it's going to be, and this sigh of relief. I don't have to cook for anybody. I don't have to do anything special. I don't have to go out and fight traffic. And I went out to get a string of lights. I wanted a light for Joseph. And one little string of lights on his little went out. And I needed a little small string of lights. And I went to Walgreens. And I went to the dollar store, because at all costs, I did not want to be in Walmart yesterday. Can you say, man? I would hate to stand in, you know, an hour and 15 minutes in line to pay for, a 50 little lights, you know, $2. No Walmart. I didn't want to walk from way out there to way over there. Amen. I just didn't want to fight all. So I'm going to rush into the dollar store. They got little strings of lights. They're out. Okay, that's fine. I'll catch them in Walgreens. They're out of those lights that I'm after. Okay, Soho. They got lights back in the back of Soho, Southern Hospitality, and you can get around in that store. I jumped and I run through that big old store, and I looked at everything in there, and there is no lights. And I thought, where do I go now? Amen. It's Walmart or Lowe's. I could have went to Lowe's. Got my lights, been out of there like that. Our Lowe's is right across from, where are you when I need you? Why didn't the Lord just drop in my heart, Lowe's? Well, he wanted to teach me, I guess, something to tell this morning. Amen. And then I finally went to, where did I go? Big Lots. I went to Big Lots, and there was three left, and I got two of them. And I thought, I've got my lights. But by the time I got my lights, you know, the time is passing. The day is hastening. You're watching your watch now, because we got other events to do yesterday. But I got my lights, and I thought, dear Lord, what do people do that need a bunch of stuff? Amen? That are running here and they don't have there. And all of this stuff. And suddenly this is becoming Christmas stuff. This is taking away from something that I want to hold dearly, because I just don't like running around out in the traffic and waiting in the lines and fighting the crowds and feeling the tension and watching my watch. Doug, we really enjoyed your lights, but I'm praying for you, because somebody told me the wind kept blowing them down, even into the other neighbor's yard, and you had to go over there and get them. And then your doggie gets loose on top of all of that. And your doggie won't listen to you when you call her back. And you have to go chasing your doggie down the road. And this is Christmas. You know, this is Christmas. And all of this stuff is happening. It wasn't supposed to blow like that and get gusty like that. And it's supposed to go off smooth. And we're supposed to smile through the whole thing and keep that, it's a holly jolly Christmas, while you're chasing your ornaments and running after your dog and trying to get it done before we get there. And, you know, but it's, yeah, and broke down. Yeah, the cars all break down just before Christmas. And we still are trying to capture what it's truly all about. Let me tell you something about this great God that you serve, this little baby that makes people sentimental. The word wonderful means astonishing or extraordinary. The writers of the Old Testament used it for acts of God which man could not understand. Here's something that should be in the Bible. It should be a scripture because everyone quotes it as a scripture. It's biblically supported. God works in mysterious way. His wonders to perform. No one would ever figure out God's plans. Why? Because His ways are above our ways. Somebody say how high.
How high?
As far as the heavens are above the earth. Every time I hear a preacher thinking he's got a handle on it, that he can tell you all about God, everything there is to know about God, because He's so close and He's got the full-blown revelation. You know what Paul said, who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, who saw heaven personally? Amen. He said, we look through a glass darkly. It does not appear what we shall be yet. It's not all that clear. We've got everything that pertains to God, life and godliness, He shows us clearly. But there's a whole bunch of stuff He hasn't shown. And every time I don't know an answer to a question somebody asks me, amen, I always tell them that the secret things belong to God. That's a scripture, you know. The earth is the Lord's. I mean, the earth He made for man, but the secret thing belong to God. Say, well, where'd all those people come from over there? Since Adam was... That's God's business. He said, that don't pertain to life and godliness. That's somebody wanting to get out of believing, trying to find a reason not to believe. I have no obligation to answer them. And He really has no obligation to tell us all about it. He's told us everything we need to know to be saved and to live for Him and to look forward to heaven. And that He's made very clear. Can you say amen? Amen. But the secret things belong to God. How in the world did this happen, Brother Vim? How in the world did He do that? See, the devil's just as confused because he saw a baby in a manger, amen, and he knew the seed of the woman. So I can kill that baby. Wrong? Because that's not just a little boy child laying there, amen. Well, then if I can't kill him, I can tempt him and get him to sin and fall. He's the seed of a woman. That means I can get to him. He's a fallen man in a fallen world. I can get to him. Wrong! You lose. He's not like any man you've ever tempted. He didn't. Remember that old spiritual? We didn't know who you was. Amen. Well, the devil didn't know who he was. And if it's just the devil didn't know, it'd be one thing. But there's a lot of people that name his name that don't really know who he was. We still see. And we get sentimental over a baby in a manger. Honey, I'm glad that he grew to manhood. And I'm glad that he did not sin. And I'm glad that his sacrifice was accepted. That he, when he shed his blood for you and me on the cross. Amen. And I'm glad he proved it was accepted by being raised from the dead bodily. Raised from the dead on the third day. Praise God. I'm glad he ascended into heaven. Amen. And ever lives to make intercession for you and for me until he comes to take us home. Can you say amen? And I'm glad he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And I'm glad he's coming again, just like he promised. Hallelujah. Amen. But when you pray and you trust God, he asks you to trust him without leaning to your understanding. Because the counselor we have is a wonderful counselor. This means he's a reliable counselor. Those who come to him will never be led astray. People like, let me name some names to you. Joyce Brothers, Dear Abby, Ann Landers, Dr. Laura Schlesinger all make a living giving advice to others. But they can't claim perfection. Psychiatrists routinely make between $150 and $350 an hour for their counsel. Wow, I could make a killing as a psychiatrist. Because there's so many people that are looking for answers. Can you say amen? Amen? Much of it is good. Some not so good. But the Lord goes to no one for advice. And when anyone comes to him, he gives them the counsel they need. He's therefore the perfect teacher. Everybody say the perfect teacher. And the ultimate counselor. This gives us insight into his work. And his plans are not our plans. His ways are not our ways. He will accomplish things beyond human comprehension. And he'll do them in ways that we cannot understand. That's why if you're going to receive him as the wonderful counselor he is, you got to trust him with all your heart and quit leaning to your understanding. I don't understand some of the things God does in my own life. I can't possibly think alongside of him except he revealed it to me. And every time I hear a preacher preach that thinks he's got a handle on it, amen, then I want to go back and read the scripture. My ways are higher than your ways, as far as the heavens are above the earth. No wonder Satan couldn't figure out God's plan to save fallen man. Amen. If he did, he wouldn't have wanted Jesus dead at all cost. Amen. Did you know if Satan had figured out God's plan, amen, demons would have been defending Jesus? Amen. Whatever you do, don't shed his blood. Whatever you do, don't let him swoon and die on that cross. Whatever you do, don't let him have access to hell's gates. Amen. We don't want him in the netherworld. We don't want him down here where the grave reigns supreme. We don't want him down here where the locks and keys are to all of this thing. Don't kill that man. Protect him. Bless him every time you see him. May you live forever. Can you say amen? Amen. He would. Because he knows. He would have known that that death was going to bring eternal life for everyone that believed. It was going to set captives free from his prison house. It was going to defeat death and the grave. Hallelujah. But God is a wonderful counselor. Let me apply this truth this way. As the wonderful counselor, he gives wholesome direction to his people. Those who follow him will not walk in darkness, but in the blazing light of day. What child is this? He's the wonderful counselor. Number two, quickly, he's the mighty God. Say it with me. He's the mighty God. This speaks of the power of accomplishment. See, Jesus came to accomplish something. He didn't just come to live and try to figure out who he was and what he was here to do. He came immediately with purpose in his heart. He came to go to that cross and die for us. It's the first of a statement of deity. The baby born in the manger is not just the Son of God. He is God the Son. And all the fullness of God dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ. The ancient creeds declare this. He is very God of very God. Amen? They can never be said. That can never be said about a human baby. Only Jesus has that royal title as the mighty God. Something else important to this title. The word translated mighty is the word gibor in the Hebrew. And it means the strong one or the powerful, valiant warrior. Everybody say the strong, powerful, valiant warrior. Hallelujah. The term mighty God is actually a military title in the Hebrew. And it means he's the God with all power who fights in behalf of his people. Isn't it good to know when God says the battle is the Lord's, you know you've won before it starts? Isn't it good when he says that you know the battle's won before it begins? Because God has never lost a battle because he's God and he can't lose. So what he came to, I love the scripture says it's God that worketh in you. All the things that you can't do, at some point in your Christian faith, you have to surrender and melt before Almighty God and put your trust wholly in him. And what you can't do in your weak flesh, he can do within your weak flesh and through your weak flesh, can you say? And in spite of your weak flesh, because he's the mighty God. And when it says it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, I can't is out of your vocabulary, and it's replaced by a holy I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can't forgive him. Oh, but if you yield to God, you can through Christ. I can't forget, but if you yield to God, you can through Christ. I can't love my enemy. Oh, but you can through Jesus Christ. How many believe we ought to drop I can't from our vocabulary? Because God is in us. Hallelujah. And God is with us. And there's victory in Jesus. At the incarnation, God took the form of human flesh. That's why one of his names is Emmanuel in the New Testament, which is translated God with us. Take the first two titles together. As the wonderful counselor, he makes the plans. As the mighty God, he plans the work. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. No one would have ever dreamed that a baby in a manger would cause such controversy, would have such an impact on our world. Amen. Even to this very day, they don't want that baby. In Plant City, I kept looking. They put up all their Christian paraphernalia. I kept looking for the baby. I kept looking for the baby. Somewhere in the town squares, there's somewhere you can still have the baby. Amen. That represents what Christmas, the beginning of what all this means to us. And sure enough, after I turned a corner, all the other stuff, there was the manger scene. And I thought, thank the Lord, in Plant City, Florida, City Council, whoever, there's still a manger scene in the town square sponsored by the city. Praise God, who's paying the light bill to light up Joseph and light up Mary and light up the baby Jesus. I appreciate my community because they're going against the grain. Amen. Hallelujah. Of course, there's a whole lot of Christian people on that city council and are businessmen and women in the city. Amen. And they want that baby there. And we want it there as the community. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's a shame that one person could stand up, resent that, and have it removed in our society, a Christian society. That's an attack on the Christian faith. Amen. This is not the world's holiday. This is our holy day. We've let the world make it a holiday. We need to take it back this Christmas. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise. Don't just get mad at them. Let's take it back. Look at the empty seats this morning. Let's take it back. I don't believe nothing else we do means anything if we can't worship him. All the rest of it is sentimental stuff. Caught up in the world stuff. Let's take it back and make it holy again. We're mad at the world. Sometimes we ought to get mad at ourselves for letting the world make it what it's become. There's a guy on the internet. He's got, it's a make-believe church. Of course, you can get it chartered these days. A lot of make-believe churches are chartered. And he's an anti-commercialization of everything. He sees big business as just, we're caught up in it. We're caught up in the system. He's not doing anything spiritual. He's just trying to make a social statement. I don't even know about his beliefs. But he's on the internet. He's the preacher of non-commercialism. And what they do, they on Black Friday when everybody's running to get the sales, he says, stand up, America, and don't buy nothing on Black Friday. Buy it on, you know, the day when the businesses are saying, you know, the driven to, we're going to get 80%, 70% of our income for the year is going to come in over Christmas. So give me. Stand up, America, and don't shop on Black Friday. Stay home, make cookies, do something fun. Don't give them your money. I'm not advocating don't shop. I'm saying don't shop at the expense of the spiritual reality and truth that we need to be grasping. Can you say amen? Because if we do, we've commercialized a sacred, holy day and turned it into what the world just lives in. And that's just the commercialization. And we get caught up in the spirit of it, and it's out there. I didn't like what I felt in the stores, though carols were playing, because I saw people anxious, in a hurry, honking, pushing, trying to get, because now the heat's on, we're counting down, you know, and you got to get it now or forget about it. And I thought, dear Lord, this is not the way to celebrate what we celebrate. Can you say amen? I'm going to get the lights on the tree, going to get Joseph lit up, and I don't mean the way the world. Amen? Hallelujah. And sit back and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending us your son, in, i.e. yourself, because I and my Father are one in purpose and one in essence. Listen to this. It's incredible truth here. His wonderful plans will be carried out by God's infinite might. There is in this little baby all the strength of deity, the power of God in those tiny little fists. He has the strength which is divine. The omnipotence of God is at his commands. Whatever he desires, he's able to achieve. And all of that was in him the day he was born. Incredible, wonderful counselor, mighty God. I can apply it this way. When we meet Jesus, we meet God. If he's not the mighty God, then we're deceived and it's blasphemy to worship him. There is no middle ground here. You know why they want him dead? Because he said he was God. But he spoke the truth. If he wasn't God, they had every right. It would have been the highest form of blasphemy for a man to claim to be God. But Jesus was God incarnate in flesh. If he's not God, we're fools to worship him. If he is God, we're fools not to worship him. Amen? Not so long ago, a renowned astronomer, Carl Sagan, died. He's best remembered for his famous PBS series called Cosmos, in which he evangelized for his evolutionary views, especially in the notion that the universe is billions of billions of years old. He repeatedly said he didn't believe in the afterlife. However, he also said he wasn't an atheist because he didn't know enough to rule out the possibility of God. So he became what is called an agnostic. There is something up there. No, he can't be known, and we can't prove that he is, if he is. So therefore, I can't be a Christian. I can't believe in heaven. I can't believe in hell. I can't believe in anything after this life. Carl Sagan is an evolutionist no longer. Do you know that? Carl Sagan is a devout believer in God today. You know why? Because he died. Carl Sagan's dead. And there ain't no dead person that don't believe in God. Yes, he's been dead for a little while now. And you know what? He believes, not to salvation. At this moment, he's neither an atheist nor an agnostic. For the day he died, he met the mighty God. Amen. Whom he refused to worship in his life. Hallelujah. In that light, let me repeat what I said a moment ago about Jesus. If he's not God, we're fools to worship him. If he is God, we're fools if we don't worship him. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room. Despite his great learning and notable achievements, Carl Sagan died a fool's death because he would not bow before the babe of Bethlehem. Jesus is but a man. Then all we do at Christmas is in vain. At this point, it's important we not get into the sentimental nonsense that makes Christmas a kind of feel-good, ecumenical holiday. Christmas is the great dividing line of all the human race. No wonder some people want all mention of Christmas expunged from our public schools and our public life. They understand that Christmas is based on the belief that at Bethlehem, the God incarnate was born. This is not true. We're not only wasting time today, we're actually deluded and deceived, and we should be pitied because we've got a false hope and a false belief in a false God and a false Christ. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and he is the life. Hallelujah. But if he is the mighty God, and when we rely on him, we are relying on God himself. He's the mighty God because we need divine help in our battle. Satan and sin would win every day, except the mighty God has defeated him in our behalf. Can you say amen? It's real significant that you don't get caught up in the sentimentality. Every time I see a manger and that baby in it, I don't think of a baby in a manger. I think of Jesus on the cross and then off the cross and ascended and seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. And standing up when I fall down to make intercession for me. Ever living to make intercession for me. And coming again very, very soon. I don't just see the baby. I see what the baby became. Hallelujah. And what he is today and what he will be forever. Somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, did you think you would come and get a little syrupy Christmas service? No, we're in God's house and the mighty God is here. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't have a little message for little Christians in a little church. Hallelujah. I represent a mighty God and a soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What child is this? He's the mighty God. Name number three, very quickly, he's the everlasting Father. In the Hebrew, the phrase is literally the Father of eternity. This speaks of the purpose of his coming. He is before, above, and beyond time. He is the possessor of eternity. We sing that song, History. How does that song go? History itself. There's a lyric to a song we sing. History itself belongs to you. Can you say amen? We sing it here. We need to get it. He's the everlasting Father. He is before, above, and beyond time. He's the possessor of eternity. And he's eternally like a father to his people. This is not a statement about the Trinity, but the character of our Lord. All that a good father is, Jesus is. To his people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because he's like a father. It doesn't mean that we don't understand there's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in character, Jesus fathers us in the Father's behalf. Listen to this very carefully. He cares for his people. He owns eternity. He has the power to give us eternal life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're on a sin-cursed planet where sin has brought death. Jesus has, he said, I came to give you life. And that we might add to that, the life he gives is eternal. It's called everlasting life because he's the everlasting Father. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is forever stuff. We sung that song to begin this. Forever. Forever is a long time. Say it with me. Forever is a long time. No one in the flesh lives forever. Sooner or later, we'll find our own place in the graveyard. We're not immortal, but transitory. We're here today, gone tomorrow. A dead Christ would do us no good. Dying men need an undying Christ. Amen. Called the first fruits of them that slept. That means the first man to ever be raised. Not the first man to ever be raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. The widow's son was raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. But they all died. Jesus was the first man to be raised from the dead who never, ever will die. And he said, that's what you're going to be like. Can you say amen? When I raise you up, there is no more death. Death will never touch you because I'm an everlasting Father. And I give you everlasting life. Can you say amen? What child is this? Everlasting Father. He's a father forever. I've got a dad. He just turned 90. We used to say when you turn 90, you got one foot in the grave, one on a banana peel. Amen. He's getting ready to meet Jesus. He knows his time is short. He's not planning to stay here forever. His plans are not even here. He doesn't want anything else here. All he's talking about is there now. And when I hear him talk to God, I can't help but hear him in his prayer life. Sometimes I'm going out and in, I hear him praying, and I stop and I pause, and I hope I'm not intruding on his privacy, but I hear him talking to God like I did when I was 6 or 7 years old talking to my daddy with such intimacy, such dependence, such love. And I'm so proud of my dad for having a person, not just having a religious concept, but having a personal relationship. Can you say amen? Religious concepts don't do you much good at that point, but a real relationship with the Lord does. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I love him talking to his Father in the name of our Savior and his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And talking to him one man to man, child to father. Hallelujah. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap? Good question. He's the everlasting Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And he is the Prince of Peace. Everybody say the Prince of Peace. The phrase literally means the Prince whose coming brings peace. This speaks of the effect of his coming. The final title is the climax of everything he was before. The word Prince means something like General of the Army. Everybody say General of the Army. There's a title given to Jesus in the Old Testament, the Lord of Hosts. Everybody say the Lord of Hosts. Literally translated in the Hebrew, it means, it's a military term. It means the Commander-in-Chief of Heaven's Armies. Say that with me, the Commander-in-Chief of Heaven's Armies. That's why when he comes again riding a white horse, what's following? The armies of heaven. Can you say amen? Why are they following him? Because he's the Commander-in-Chief of Heaven's armies. You need angels? There's a Commander-in-Chief that can order them for you at the snap of his finger. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, I have it within me to call thousands of angels. I don't need a man with a sword in his hand. I'm not as meek and weak as I seem. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? The devil's got me all wrong. No one is putting me on this cross. If I didn't want to go there, I'd call 10,000 angels. Why? Because he's the everlasting Father and the mighty God, and he is the Commander-in-Chief of Heaven's armies. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise in this room. Amen. I didn't come here with a sermonette for a little group of tired people. I came here with a message from God. Hallelujah. To tell you what Christmas is all about. It means power. It means Satan's defeat. The seed of the woman was born to crush his head. I said the seed of the woman was born to crush his ugly head. Whoa. What child is this? This is the Wonderful Counselor here. This is the Mighty God here. This is the Everlasting Father here. This is the Prince of Peace laying here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speaks of his high position. The word peace speaks of his basic nature. Recently I read there are more wars raging right now than any time this century. All over the globe, there are ethnic conflicts and tribal wars. Closer to home, there's not a day goes by somebody's not murdered in Tampa, Florida. Not hardly a day someone isn't murdered. Tampa, Lakeland, Brandon, this area. Chicago, it's kids are being killed, and they don't know what to do about it. They haven't been able to stem it or stop it. We see so much killing, it doesn't shock us nor surprise us anymore. It doesn't bother us most of the time if it wasn't one of us or one of our own. We've been immune to the violence because we live in a violent world. Isaiah 9:6 tells us God's plan for world peace is focused on one person. A baby asleep in a manger in Bethlehem is the beginning of it. He's the ultimate man of peace. Another man is coming. The Antichrist is going to come as a man of peace, but he's going to be a phony. The real Prince of Peace is the one that's being pushed aside, suppressed, pressed down, shoved aside. In the past, his coming made peace with God, Jesus coming. In the present, those who come to him find peace in their hearts because of what he did at the cross. Christ comes in. In the future, his second coming will usher in a kingdom of peace. There's no peace today. Just strife and bloodshed. But he was not a failure. We are. It's the world's failure to accept him. Because if the world accepted him, there would be peace on this earth now. And the only way there's going to be peace when he comes, not because everybody's going to embrace him. Because when he was here before, they said, we don't want this man to rule over us. The reason there's going to be peace on earth when he stands on this planet is because he's going to rule it with a rod of iron. Are you here? So if you think a little baby in Bethlehem is just going to let the world shove him around when he comes, you're wrong. You're wrong. Listen very carefully. Peace is a wonderful thing, but it's hard to find in this world. But it's worth working for. It's worth waiting for. It's coming. God's ultimate peace, someone said, rests not in treaties or lessons or progress or material prosperity. God's plan for peace is the maker of peace. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. By the way, of all the names I just read you, they're all equally significant. But we embrace Prince of Peace more than any of the rest, because we need peace so very desperately. I've never met so many Christians that didn't have peace in all of my Christian life or experience as a minister. Christians without peace, fitting the mold of the world, being pressed into its mold by fear, worry, concerns about things we should be committing to Christ. One writer puts it this way, the messages of Christ are methods of peace. The men of Christ are men of peace. The kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of peace. The principles of Christ are principles of peace. To know him is to know blessing and happiness and peace. To live without him is to be finally restless and miserable. That's why he told those people that had great riches but didn't have the Prince of Peace reigning in their hearts at Laodicea, you're poor, miserable. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's addressing. You're blind and you're naked. Amen. Did you know material wealth? It's called the deceitfulness of riches. And what is so deceiving about it? If I just had it, I'd be happy. God said there's a hole in you that only he can fill. And until he fills that hole, nothing in this world can ever make you truly happy. Can you say amen? Amen. Their preachers aren't happy. That are preaching prosperity and they're not happy. How do you know they're not? Because they never have enough. A town car ain't enough. A Cadillac ain't enough. A Bentley, you're getting close, but it still ain't enough. An Elgin isn't enough, nor a Bulova. A Timex, oh, you're kidding me. A ring isn't enough. It's got to be huge. A plane isn't enough. I need 5 of them. $1 million home isn't enough. I need a $2 million. That isn't enough. I need an apartment worth $3.75 million. But Jesus will satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Oh, yeah? Well, why aren't you satisfied with something? Why isn't enough enough? Since his kingdom doesn't come with observation. Well, what's in it that's so important? Amen. Righteousness, which brings eternal life. And not only eternal life, but life more abundantly in this life. Righteousness, peace. Everybody say peace. If you don't have peace, you're poor. Can you say, man, it don't matter what you own, what you have. If you don't have that peace reigning in your soul, you're poor. They can't even stay together as husband and wife. They're ever reaching for something else. Amen. I'm so happy with my wife. The Bible told me to live joyfully with the wife of my youth. This is the woman I married. Amen. And it doesn't mean to live joyfully with her while she's young. And when she gets her 40 or 50, start looking around. Amen. Like the guy that, you know, said I'm going to his wife, when she turned 40, I'm going to get rid of you and get me 2 20-year-olds. And, of course, she reports back, you're not wired for 220. And that's an old joke that's ongoing. And it would be funny if it wasn't so true. There's a middle age. You ladies go through hormone things. I'm glad we don't. We go through something called midlife crisis, though. And it's more mental than actually chemical in our bodies. And it's the realization that I'm not as young and attractive as I once was or thought I was. Amen. And I'm looking for something to fulfill me. to make me. I went to a Jesus, and I'm getting ready to stop, but I went to one of those Jesus 85, I believe it was, out in big pastures near Disney World. They had all these people camp out, and it was a big youth movement, and there was a man there preaching, and he said that he had a, and he was on television, and he had a big ministry. He said a friend of his came to him that was supposed to be a godly man, a Christian man, a man who loved God, and he came and he had left his wife. They'd been married over 30 years, and he got this young thing, this young lady, to marry him, not to marry him, but to go with him, and they were going together, and he called his friend. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, listen," he said, "my wife and I had some wonderful years together, but that was then. This is now." Now, this is so-called Christian talk. You're supposed to be happy with his wife, happy with his life, happy with Jesus Christ. Amen? And he said, "But now I'm aging. I don't have a lot of time left. And I feel an emptiness inside." Well, you see, Jesus is supposed to be addressing that emptiness inside. To where having food and raiment, we're supposed to be what with Jesus addressing that emptiness? Content. Well, discontent will lead you to all kinds of sin. Can you say, man? Oh, I'm so happy with what the Lord has given me. I'm happy with my wife. I love my dogs. Amen. Listen to me. I got a yard that's mostly weeds, but if you don't put weed killer on it, it looks like a pretty good yard from about 20 feet away. Can you say, man? I'm happy with my yard. The lady next door had a yard. Oh, my. They had a sprinkler system put in that yard. Amen. They had people come and put the chemicals on it. Amen. And they just came and killed the weeds. And guess what? Amen. Everything's just about dead. It looks the deadest yard in the neighborhood because they killed the weeds. My weeds are alive and well. I don't want no weed killer on my weeds. I want to cut it down even, and it looks green from a distance. Can you say? I'm so happy. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. You've been good to me. Praise God. You're the everlasting Father to me. Amen. Age without end. You will always cover me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not just sentimental. I'm filled up with joy and fire. Hallelujah. This Christmas. I know whom I have believed. I don't say, "What child is this?" I know exactly who he is. He is the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, the mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, somebody give him praise. Glory. Oh, let's stand and give him praise. Brother, would you come forward? If you got something Christmassy, get it ready. Amen. But we were looking for Manger Throne. Can y'all come to sing Manger Throne? Y'all come sing Manger Throne. Are there enough of you left? There is. Yes, there is. Come get ready to do Manger Throne. We're going to sing it together in closing. Hallelujah. There is a service tonight for those that can. Some people couldn't be here today. We want to bless them tonight if they come. But I can't outdo this service, I'll tell you right now. God is here. God is here. God is here. God is here. Hallelujah. What child is this? In this one verse, we have the four names of Jesus. If you're confused, he's the wonderful counselor. If you're weak, he's the mighty God. If you're scared, he's the everlasting Father. If you're disturbed, he's the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. In 1809... a traveler was passing through Kentucky. True story. He stopped at a store and asked, "Anything happened around here lately?" Backwoods, Kentucky, 1809. "Anything happened around here lately?" Man said, "No, nothing ever happened around here. Oh, except there was a baby born out at the Lincoln cabin last night. That's all. A baby was born out at the Lincoln cabin. But nothing much ever happens around here except little bitty baby born out at the Lincoln cabin. You can almost see the Bethlehem overtones. Anything happening? What's cracking down here in Bethlehem? Can you say amen? Amen? What's cracking down here in Bethlehem? Well, there's a little baby born over there in that manger of a poor couple from Nazareth. Wow. Nothing much happening down in Bethlehem. Let me read this true story. It's going to take a moment, but it's worth it. This lady had a religion without a relationship. And they all get sentimental over the baby. But I want you to listen to this. Religion gets real sentimental over that baby. But those in relationship know who that baby is. Can you say amen? And that marks the difference. In his book of books, Jess Moody tells of meeting Rose Kennedy, mother of President John F. Kennedy. She was a devout Catholic at the time. Many years ago at a Bible study he was teaching, she came to it. That night he challenged his hearers to make their hearts ready to meet the Lord, because life is short for all of us and no one knows what the future may hold. When the meeting was over, Rose Kennedy spoke to Jess Moody privately. And she said, "I've done what you're talking about tonight." She went on to say that as a young bride, she had been enamored by the power of money. She became selfish, living for her own selfish desires. Then she gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. Soon it became apparent that something was wrong with her daughter. Medical tests revealed that her daughter had been born with severe mental retardation and would have to be institutionalized for her entire life. Rose Kennedy said that she and her husband were devastated by the news. Then the devastation turned eventually to enormous anger at God. "How could you have done this to us?" she asked the Lord. The anger became kind of a corrosive bitterness that drained every bit of joy out of her life. One night she and her husband had been scheduled to attend a social gathering. They decided at the last minute not to go when she realized that her anger had consumed her. She was afraid of what she might do or say if someone asked about her daughter's condition. And that's when it happened. A maid who worked for the family spoke to her and said, "Mrs. Kennedy, I've been watching you for the last few weeks, and I've seen how angry you are. If you don't do something, it's going to ruin you. I think you should pray this prayer. Oh Lord, make my heart a manger where Christ, the Christ child, can be born." Rose Kennedy told Jess Moody that she was so angry she fired the maid on the spot. But that night when she went to bed, she couldn't sleep, tossing, turning. She couldn't get that simple prayer out of her mind. Finally, she knelt by her bed, and in an act of deep surrender, she prayed, "Oh Lord, make my heart a manger where the Christ child can be born. I receive you as my Savior." And in that moment, in the depth of the night, when she cried out in anguish, God heard and answered her prayer. She said, "I've always been religious, you know. I'm a Catholic, and I've always believed in Jesus. But this was different." On this night, she opened her heart to Christ in a new and different way. And her heart indeed became a manger where Christ could be born in her. Love replaced the anger that had gripped her soul. And the end of the story is this. She rehired the maid who stayed with the family until she died. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's cracking down in Bethlehem? My dog. Nothing much. Little baby. Born out in that man's manger where he feeds his cattle. Oh, friend, don't get caught up in the hustle and the bustle and miss the miracle. The world needs to hear. The world needs to know. They need to see something in you, my children, that will make them ask, "What child is this?" And you need something ready to offer them when they ask. You need to tell them. And you need to tell them clearly and boldly. For the hour is late and many souls are in the balance, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to get close to God. I don't want the world to pull me from Him through holidays that are supposed to be holy days. Can everyone agree with me about that? I don't want the world to catch me up in its holiday at the expense of this holy day. this church ought to be wall to wall today. If he had not come, every one of us would have been lost forever. Can you say amen? People in this community back here ought to be filling churches. Anybody that believes anything about God ought not be in Walmart today. Can you say amen? Oh, how we need him. How we need him. We're desperate for the Prince of Peace to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing this song with love and understanding today. Are you glad you're in his house today? Are you glad you took time?